Today on More to Life, no parent is an island. Got parenting questions? Feeling overwhelmed by family life? You're not alone. We'll help you get the support and the tools you need to be a more confident Catholic mom or dad. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, no parent is an island. Well, that's the title of the show, but it sure can feel like we are kind of islandy from time to time. Are you feeling that way? If you've got parenting questions, if you're feeling overwhelmed by family life and all the pressures that our contemporary world puts on Catholic families in particular, we want to help you get the support and, more importantly, the tools you need to be a more confident Catholic mom or dad. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Once again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, when we think of, you know, no parent is an island, we think of that ideal of everybody can come alongside of us and support us, and we, you know, we have our network. Two things happen with that sometimes, right? Well, three. The ideal is you happen to live in a wonderful place, have a great extended family, and you've got all the support you need because everybody's on the same page and you all share the same faith, and it just works.
Gosh, and I pray that that's true for all of you.
I pray that's true for all of you. For many, many, many of us, it is not true. So you've got a couple of things that can happen with that, or I think they go in succession. You almost wish you were an island because you've got all these people in your life, the people at school, the people on your block that make parenting a little bit harder. You're not sure that they're the greatest influence on your kids. They make family life a little bit tougher with all of the things that they put on you. Or you're doing the comparison game, or they're trying to make you do the comparison game. And I had a dear friend, we raised our kids together for a very long time, and she used to say to me, Lisa, I just want to go climb up on top of a mountain, build a house there, and raise these kids completely alone, because I just can't take what the culture's doing anymore. So sometimes we don't want to be an island because we need the help. We need the support. We need the encouragement. And other times we wish we could just do it all far away from everything that's going on in our extended family and society and the school system, whatever those things are. So if any of this is touching you and making your head tilt a little sideways today about parenting on your own, in either direction, we are here to help you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Of course, you can also send your questions to us via email if you are listening to the More to Life podcast later on. We'd love to hear from you there. But either way, let us know, are you struggling to help your kids overcome an irritating or frustrating behavior? Are you trying to get them to bicker less or deal with their emotions more effectively? Or even just learn to love God and be confident in your role as, you know, a parent trying to form faithful kids. Maybe you're wondering how you can create a more faithful, loving, joyful, peaceful family life. Or you just want to stop second-guessing yourself all the time. And the fact is, being a Catholic parent in today's world can feel like a tough, lonely job. We want to give you the tools and support you need to make parenting easier. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. You know, Lisa, you were talking about, you know, either friends or neighbors or people in your community. that can sometimes make you question yourself as a parent. But, you know, our own families can sometimes be our worst enemy when it comes to parenting. I mean, you know, our parents, for example, or our
our co-parents, depending on how we're getting along with our spouse or, you know, somebody who was part of our children's lives in that way and is no longer there or is at a distance. But goodness, that extended family thing can get really complicated and kind of hurtful, can't it?
Well, it, absolutely. And so that's why we are here today to talk about how no parent is an island. If you've got parenting questions and you're feeling maybe a little overwhelmed by the challenges that you're facing as a Catholic mom or dad, we are here to help. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Now, if you're in the thick of raising your kids, then we are 100% on board with talking to you today about anything that's concerning you about taking that path in life and trying to do it successfully as a Catholic parent. But if you've raised your kids and you're having trouble with those adult kids or are part of raising those grandkids and you've got questions and concerns, we're here for you as well at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're saying, well, what is that, and how can it possibly help me be a more confident Catholic parent? Well, glad you asked. When St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections on how we can discover God's plan for leading a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships, especially marriage and family relationships, by prayerfully contemplating God's design of creation, especially his design of our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds Catholic parents that we aren't just called to raise kids who can function in society and hold down a good job. I mean, those are very important things. But we're actually called to raise kids who can challenge society by building the kingdom of God. The world needs loving, responsible, godly people. And God has commissioned Catholic parents to give the world what it needs. The theology of the body tells us that families are meant to be schools of love and virtue. The places we learn that God's vision of love is different from the world's vision is in our home. Family life is where we learn to celebrate that unique Christian vision of love in our own lives and share it with everyone we meet.
And that is both a beautiful job and a tough job.
Very tough.
You know, and of course, Christian families are going to struggle with all kinds of challenges along the way. But the good news is that we don't have to do this work on our own. You know, our children are God's children first. And our Heavenly Father will parent alongside of us if we invite Him to, if we let Him. That's why every day we need to pray, first as a family, asking God to teach us to be the family He wants us to be and learn to love each other, not with our own broken human love, but with God's love. And then secondly, we as parents need to be bringing our parenthood to God throughout the day, asking Him to teach us how to respond to every challenge, every moment, in a way that glorifies Him, helps us be our best selves so we can model what we're trying to teach, and helps bring out the best in our kids. We can't be saints or raise saints on our own, but with God, all things are possible. And that's what we're here to help you do today on our show titled No Parent is an Island. Got parenting questions? Feeling a little overwhelmed by all the stuff that you got to do as a Catholic mom or dad? Struggling to create a more peaceful, loving, faithful family life? Whether we're talking about your young children or adult children or anywhere in between, we want to help you be a more confident Catholic mom or dad. Let us give you the tools and support you need to make parenting easier. 877-573-7825. Before we do our prayer, I did want to just invite you all to join us at the National Eucharistic Congress this coming July 17th through the 21st. That's just all of, what, 12 days, 13 days away?
Give or take.
Yeah, and we are super excited to be there. Lisa and I are running the Catholic Home Immersive Experience. That's spelled H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. And what we're trying to do is bring the Eucharistic revival to the domestic church. You know, when people encountered Christ in Scripture, everything about the way they lived and loved changed. And when we encounter Christ in the Eucharist, we should experience the same thing. Everything about the way we live together and love each other, especially as families, should change as well. And so the Catholic Home Immersive Experience at the National Eucharistic Congress is going to show you and your kids how that's possible. We're going to have a lot of fun together. We're going to spend some time worshiping the Lord together. We're going to have a wonderful experience with a really fun puppet show that really teaches families how to be dynamic domestic churches. There are going to be four activity stations with games and craft projects and other activities to help you learn how to draw closer to God and to each other in your Catholic home. That's HOM, stands for Households on Mission. So I hope that you will join us at the National Eucharistic Congress this July 17th to the 21st for the Catholic Home Immersive Experience. And they've just opened up new slots. It was previously sold out, but now there are new slots available, so go and register now.
And those are particularly on the Saturday morning. So at the last day of activities at the Congress in the morning, so everyone is done before the amazing Eucharistic procession, those slots seem to have still some spaces open.
10 a.m., 11:30, and 1 p.m.
But get there quick, because everything else is selling out and sold out, but we would love to see you there.
And, of course, if you'd like to get daily support in your parenting life, you can download the Catholic HOM app. Again, it stands for Households on Mission, where you'll get great coaching support from our whole team of pastoral counselors, plus tons of resources to help make building a more loving, connected, caring Catholic family easier and more pleasant. Check it out, Catholic HOM. Download it today to learn more about how you can build a more loving Catholic household on mission. All right, we'll take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you our families, especially our role as parents and our relationship with our kids. Lord, we don't know what we're doing. We're learning on the job. So help us to know what you would have us do to raise your children to be godly men and women. Give us the insights we need, the tools we need, the support we need to raise good and godly kids and give the world what it needs. Help us to see the value of the work that we do as Catholic parents, and help us to encounter you more meaningfully in our homes and experience our faith as a source of the warmth in our homes, so that we can build your kingdom family by family, brick by brick. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, our show is titled, No Parent is an Island. Are you struggling to help your kids overcome an irritating or frustrating behavior? Are you trying to get them to bicker less or deal more effectively with their emotions? Or learn to be truly godly, faithful, good people? If you're afraid of the influence of media, the internet, peers, or culture, and how that's affecting your kids, or you're wondering how to create a more faithful, loving, joyful, peaceful family life, or just wondering how to stop second-guessing yourself all the time, we're here for you. 877-573-7825. And if you're listening to the More to Life podcast later on, you can shoot us your questions via email. That address, questions@moretoliferadio.com.
Well, that is exactly what Jill in Nebraska did, Craig. She wrote in and she said, our family has lived in the same area of Nebraska our whole life. We have children who are 14, 10, 7, and 4. And they have good friends and cousins here. But my husband lost his job a few months ago and was finally offered another one, but it's in New Jersey. We don't want to go, but we really must take it because it's the only thing available to support our family. It's a good job, will pay well, and has room to grow. My question is, how do we get through this change emotionally? It will be hard on my husband and I, but we're more concerned about how to help our children get through this, adjust, and thrive. And that's Jill in New Jersey, in Nebraska, moving to New Jersey.
There you go. Soon to be from New Jersey.
Soon to be, yeah.
Well, Jill, thank you so much for the question. And, you know, these kinds of transitions are never easy. And I tell you that because I think it's important to recognize that hard things are hard.
Yeah.
And that it's okay to struggle and to feel a little off balance for a while. So I think the first tip there is be comfortable with being a little uncomfortable for the time being. Because that's a really, you know, that's just a part of this process. You know, when you're striking out, you need to give yourself that time to find your feet.
And that can be a little scary. And you also have to take into account that you will all be grieving this. You know, you are leaving behind everything familiar, everything that you love, everything that makes you feel normal, the people you really care about. And that doesn't mean you have to sink into, you know, in deep, unending grief. But if you're all a little bit extra tired or extra edgy or just off kilter in some way, know that it's normal, but that you can be doing certain things to help pull you through it and get you to a more normal feeling state with each other and inside yourself.
And these all go together. So this first point about accepting the fact that it's going to be hard leads to the second point, which is make sure you're praying about this as a family.
Yes.
How do we pray about this as a family? Well, I would suggest that in addition to whatever devotions are particularly meaningful to you and your kids, I would bring the situation to God every day as a family. And be honest. Talk to him from your heart about your feelings about the change. Lord, we're really grateful for this new opportunity. We're grateful that you've given this job to my husband, and we're grateful that we have these new opportunities. But Lord, it's scary and it's hard. And, you know, we're saying goodbye to a lot of things that we love and a lot of people that we love, and we're grieving that. And just help us to really be able to face this with courage and with confidence and grace, and help us to take care of each other while we go through this. And, you know, use that prayer then as a springboard to check in with the kids. How are you guys doing today? What is there something that we want to pray about with this? Is there something you're concerned about as we move? Let's bring that to God. And you're using this as an opportunity to grow closer to each other and to God while you go through it in prayer. Third point here is what I'd like you to do is have a conversation with your kids where you acknowledge, you know, this is kind of hard for all of us, and that's okay. But we need to figure out how to take care of each other while we go through this. So let's come up with a list of things that we can do to try to look out for each other and be a good team while we go through this. What are some of the things that are hardest about this move? Okay, great. You have that list of, well, what can we do to make sure we're taking care of each other while we attend to those things or while we try to address those concerns? And you write it down, and you just have that conversation where you're talking about that. And then when you have, I would just say every day. Kind of every day. Just acknowledge that, you know, we're going through this. What do we need to do today to be a better team? You know, what do we need to do to make sure we're taking care of each other today? How are we all doing? You know, and you know, maybe it's a good day, so great, we want to celebrate that. Maybe it's a harder day for one or two of the kids, so it's like, well, what do we need to do to help make sure we're there for you? What do we need to do to make sure that you're there for us? You know, and you're taking care of each other as a team. What a lot of times, you know, we try to do is we white knuckle our way through the thing. We don't talk about it. We just say, well, what's the point of talking about it? We just have to go through it anyway.
Right. Or we look a bunch of stuff up online of how to help kids get through a move, and we do those things without ever asking our kids what they really need.
Yeah, but the most important thing is, I mean, after prayer and asking God to teach you how to respond to this, the most important thing is talking about it and checking in with each other. You know, seeing how you're doing emotionally with it, what concerns are in your minds today, and what you can do to show up for each other and be a good team through that. So the more you're having that conversation in the context of your prayer about this change, the more everybody's going to get through it okay. And again, going back to the first point, it's okay that it's difficult. It's okay that this is a challenge. It's okay that sometimes you're going to be a little grumpy with each other or a little snappish. But that's what that means is it's time to stop and stand back and just sort of say, okay, you know what, we're starting to let the stress get to us. What can we do the rest of this afternoon, the rest of this morning, the rest of whatever, to show up for each other and help make each other feel taken care of and loved through this? All right. Thanks, Jill, for the question. If there's more we can do to support you through this challenging time, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show. You can also download the Catholic Home app because, again, on Catholic HOM, every day, in addition to the great resources that we offer parents, we also provide parent coaching online. It's not counseling, but it is coaching, and it is an opportunity to really just run those questions past our team and get the ongoing feedback that you need when you need it. So download the Catholic HOM app today and learn how you can be a stronger, healthier, more loving Catholic household on mission, even through the challenge of this transition you're going through. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877 573-7825. The show is titled No Parent is an Island. Have you got parenting questions? Feeling a little overwhelmed these days by all the stuff you have to do to maintain your family life and raise your kids? Well, guess what? You are not alone. And we want to help you get the support, and more importantly, the tools you need to be a more confident Catholic mom or dad. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up after the break. Plus, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores-Popchak, who is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He'll be sharing some insights on how we can make parenting a little easier. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience. 17,000 current students. Pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this. Two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. That is setonhome.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled No Parent is an Island. We are talking to you about parenting today on More to Life and the challenges of raising a Catholic family in today's world. 877-573-7825 is the number to join the conversation. And joining us right now, Jacob Flores-Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's also an author and an illustrator and expert in the practical applications of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
I appreciate being here.
So, we were talking about parenting today, and you wanted to share an insight that you often will pass along to the clients that you serve when it comes to these sessions about parenting. So, hit us with it.
Yeah, I mean, I wanna emphasize that you know, as therapists, you know, we always argue that all feelings are inherently good at their core, but I think we all also recognize that sometimes my frustration or my kind of level of upsetness, whether I would call that kind of sadness or frustration or powerlessness even, can get to a degree that's really inordinate. And what I've found in my practice is that most of the time when a feeling is becoming really inordinate in regards to my child, like I'm becoming really over-the-top frustrated and I'm walking away going, why am I getting so mad at this kid? I don't know what to do about it. Or really over-the-top powerless, where I'm just like, I don't know what to do with, you know, in this situation with my child anymore. 9 times out of 10, part of what's serving as the gasoline that's kind of exploding that fire into something really inordinate and unworkable is the fact that this kid is inadvertently doing something that reminds me of something that I already don't like about me. So I'm going to give an example just to make this clear. Like, I'll often have clients come to me and say, you know, my one kid is just, I hate to say it, Jacob, but they act like an idiot. They're just so dumb. Like they look at the wall and they can't see what's 5 feet in front of them, or they make asinine decisions. Like I do, and I get so angry about it. And I've learned to kind of ask the question, okay, do you often really criticize yourself for being stupid? And it'll always be like a mic drops, right? Because this will inevitably be a person who is incredibly savagely hard on themselves for being dumb, who has all kinds of issues with feeling stupid, with feeling like they're not good at communicating or whatever else it is. And what's therefore happening is that their love and their empathy for their child, which is a good thing, a godly thing, is getting mixed in with their own hatred of this thing within them. That's a satanic thing. And what's because those two things are getting mixed up, what ends up happening is some little voice in them goes, I'm going to save my kid from being as bad at blank as I am, or as bad with blank as I am, by being incredibly ridiculously hard on them. But Satan loves when we do that because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and we end up kind of making the kid more of whatever that quality is just by being that hard on them. So,
and I think an alternative. There's 20 seconds.
You're good.
No, I was going to say we have 20 seconds, so I just want to, you know, as an alternative then, you know, I know you wanted to talk about this, but we're running out of time, the importance of kind of stepping back and saying to the kid, you know what, this is something we both struggle with. Let's work on it together. And the more we're able to come alongside of our kids then and work on it as disciples in Christ with each other, the more powerful and confident we can be. Sorry to have to jump in there, Jacob, but thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and if there's more, we would like you, listeners, to find out more about his good work by going to CatholicCounselors.com. We'll be back with your calls about parenting in just a minute. 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
Which of the seven sacraments has been especially instituted by Christ to aid those who are being tried by serious illness? It is the sacrament called the anointing of the sick. This sacrament was particularly promulgated by the Apostle James, who said, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the priests of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Over the centuries, the sacrament came to be used on those who were dying and was called extramunction. But in this day and age, it is seen not as a sacrament strictly for those who are near death, but also those who are gravely ill, in the hope they will recover. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism. Thank you for listening.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
People think it's easier to stay in the muck. The devil that we know is easier than the devil we don't know, but what they don't realize is that the situation can get worse. And what we're seeing now with some of these very liberal orders, let's say, for example, these liberal orders that are dying out, especially religious sisters, dying out, literally folding. And then you have the religious orders such as the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Dominican Sisters in Nashville, the Sisters of Life in New York, flooded with requests for information and to meet with the sisters about this beautiful life, because they're so joyful because they are living the truth of Scripture and the truth of the Eucharist, of Jesus. But these people will not let go, because then you have to look yourself in the mirror, and then you have to surrender. I think it all goes back to the Garden of Eden. Who's God? Are we God, or is God God?
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Nothing taxes our relationship with our adult kids as much as the expectation that they should obey us. As parents, we remember when our children were little and we could get away with, "because I said so." Although we don't recommend that approach at any stage, we guarantee that you will fail to communicate with your adult children if you demand obedience. The Catechism of the Catholic Church notes, "Obedience towards parents ceases with the emancipation of our children." Certainly, our children owe us their respect, just as any human being owes respect to others in a relationship. But our adult children aren't obliged to do what we say. Catholic parents are still called to help our adult kids lead godly adult lives. but we're called to do it as mentors and witnesses, not masters and commanders. To learn how you can have a healthy mentoring relationship with your adult kids, check out our book, Having Meaningful and Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, no parent is an island. Got parenting questions? Feeling a little overwhelmed by family life? Well, you're not alone. And we want to help you get the support and tools you need to be a more confident Catholic mom or dad. 877-573-7825. Call up and share. Are you struggling to help your kids overcome an irritating or frustrating behavior? Are you wanting them to bicker less? Are you wanting to know how to help them deal with their emotions more effectively? Or learn to love God and participate in family prayer and your other family faith activities? Maybe you're afraid of the influence of media, the internet, peers, or the culture, and what it's doing to your kids. Or maybe you're just wondering how you can create a more loving, faithful, joyful, peaceful Catholic family life. Or stop second-guessing yourself all the time. Whatever the challenge you're facing happens to be, we want to help you get the tools and support you need to make parenting a little easier. 877-573-7825.
Maybe you're trying to be that support system to your grandchildren, your godchildren, your nieces or nephews, because you know that no parent should be an island. They need you, but maybe you're butting heads with those parents, or you're seeing something that's really falling through the cracks and you don't know how to approach them. Know whether your kids are your own, somebody you're helping to raise, whether they're brand new or they're adults. We're here to help you today on More to Life. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We want to send out congratulations to two more members of the EWTN radio family. WQOU 104.1 FM in Mount Gillian, Ohio, is celebrating 9 years with EWTN.
And also KKSJ 107.5 FM in Beloit, Kansas, marks 5 years with us. Congratulations to Chris at WQOU and Doug and Joe at KKSJ from your friends right here at EWTN. And wherever you are listening to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure to support your local EWTN station with your prayers, certainly, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong and being here for you for decades to come so we can keep supporting you in living a more faithful and abundant life. With that, we are taking your calls about parenting today on our show titled No Parent is an Island. If you've got questions about parenting and family life and just feeling like a more confident Catholic mom or dad in today's world, let us help. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Or shoot us an email if you're listening especially to the More to Life podcast later on. And that address is questions@moretoliferadio.com.
Right now we do have a question from Amy, who is listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio. She said, our teenager is getting this horrible tone of voice whenever we bring up anything she doesn't like or ask her to do an extra chore or anything. We try to understand when she's stressed about friendships, etc., but that nasty tone just pushes all of our buttons. We want to just yell and shout her down. Is there any way to balance being understanding and supportive with not allowing her to be nasty and disrespectful? Last night, my husband actually had to leave the house. He slammed the door as the only way not to lose it with her. We need some guidance on this. And again, that's Amy in Ohio.
All right, Amy, thanks so much for the question. And, you know, it's really frustrating when our kids, our teens especially, can talk back, push back, do the kinds of things you were just describing here.
And about a million things go through our heads in that 1 second, right? That reaction of, how dare they? Don't they know how much I do for them? Don't they have any respect for me? It runs through our head like a flash of lightning, and it really ratchets up our emotions.
emotional temperature so much that it makes it hard to think through it at all.
Yeah, but I want to thank you for your question, you know, about what does it mean to be compassionate in the face of that kind of behavior, because I don't think a lot of parents, you know, it occurs to them that we should be compassionate, because for a lot of people, being compassionate in the face of bad behavior means that we're tolerating the behavior or somehow rewarding it or coddling it. And it doesn't have to do that. In fact, if it's healthy compassion, then it won't do that at all. You know, being compassionate for your daughter in this situation means I feel badly that she is having a hard time knowing how to express herself respectfully, right? I feel badly that she's so wound up that she can't get the right words or the right actions to communicate what her concern or frustration or difficulty is. So you're compassionate for the intention behind the behavior, but you're correcting the behavior itself. And so when she behaves, well, a couple of thoughts, all right? First of all, when she's not behaving like this, when she's being okay, I'd like you to set some time aside with her to say, you know what, I notice that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you really struggle when you feel frustrated, when, you know, I'm asking you to do something that you don't want to do. It's really hard for you to respond to that respectfully. And I want you to know that if you have a question, you know, for example, Mom, is it okay if I do this at this time instead of that time? Or is it okay if I finish this project before I start? Or whatever. If you have a concern, if you have a question, if you have something that you want to say, as long as you can say it respectfully, I'm happy to hear it. But if you say it the way you're saying it, I'm going to have to impose a consequence moving forward, because you're too old to let your behavior be ruled by your emotions like this. And so, you know, I want to work with you to be able to express whatever you're feeling respectfully, so that we can work through it together. But if you choose not to do that and work with me, then I will have to impose some consequences here to kind of drive the point home. And then you sort of talk through, okay, so there were two times this week that where you did this. Let's go back through this situation. What was going through your mind when I asked you to do X? Right? Talk to me through what was it that you were trying to say to me that I was either having a hard time hearing or you weren't sure how to make me hear. What was going on? And then she talks it out, and you're able to say, all right, so if you were going to express that to me, how could you say that in a more respectful way? Now, and then you work through that. Now, I want to say to you, just because a kid asks respectfully for something, you know, like if they say, well, Mom, I really don't want to do that. I just really feel like that's not fair to ask me to do. Well, you know, you can hear that and you can say, I'm really sorry you feel that way, but I still need you to do the thing. Right? Just because they're speaking respectfully, doesn't mean we have to give them the thing they're asking for. We just have to hear it and be respectful in return. And so the point of this little exercise here is not to give your daughter everything she wants. It's to give her a healthy and appropriate way to express her frustrations or her whatever her feelings are.
And a healthy and appropriate way for you to be able to set limits and guidelines around her behavior as a member of your family and what you need from her. And I think this is a very, very important thing to underline in the midst of a society who's leaning so much toward gentle parenting and understanding feelings. Those are lovely things, but not for the sake of just being gentle or understanding, but for being able to understand so that we can then guide and disciple our children's ability to express their emotions and needs effectively, not just with us. It starts with us, because we're our children's first teachers, as the church teaches us, but also to give them the skills that they will use in every interaction that they have with their teachers, with their friends, with their future spouses, etc. Because they need us to be the ones to guide that. But as you're saying, Greg, that doesn't mean we just say, oh, well, that's the way you feel. Okay, you never have to do a chore around the house. You never have to do these particular things. You never have to go to mass because you're tired. No, not at all.
All right. So the first step is, like we were just saying, you know, at a time when she's not doing this, have that conversation we just walked through. Second step is, when she is doing this, you want to remind her of that conversation and say, honey, I want to hear whatever it is you have to say to me. But remember, we talked about this. I need you to express yourself respectfully. Take a breath. Say that over again in a more respectful way that I could actually be able to hear you. And really kind of, you know, refuse to move forward until you're able to get her to say that.
Now, because she's this particular age, she's a high school student, she should be able to do that fairly effectively in a non-heat-of-the-moment situation. Remember, you're teaching this to her when you're not shocked and appalled. But if she can't, it's okay to start giving her the words. And if other listeners are thinking, okay, how do I apply this to my younger child? It's okay if they're really struggling to figure it out to say, okay, try it this way, and then have them repeat that back to you respectfully. And if they're still rolling their eyes or using a tone, say, all right, well, I appreciate you using the words, but let's do it without the eye roll, or now, let's do it in a pleasant tone. Practice it again.
Generally not cooperative with this, then it's okay to say, well, look, I'm willing to work through this with you, but I need you to take some time to yourself. And we're not going to move on until you can express to me what it is that you need to say. Hear what I'm saying, though, okay? It's not until you can agree to do the thing I've asked you to do. Because sometimes kids, it's hard for them to express their emotions appropriately. They'd rather just do what I told them to do rather than do the hard work of figuring out how to express what they're trying to say. So your focus at this point is teaching her how to do the thing and giving her the space to learn that. So if she's not cooperating with you in the moment, then saying to her, I mean, I need you to take some time by yourself to figure out what you're trying to say to me. I'll be back in 10 minutes. Right. And you give her and you work through that together. Nothing else goes on in her life until she's figured out how to express whatever it is she's trying to express to you in a way that's respectful and you can hear it. Once that's worked out, then she has to do the thing you've asked her to do in the first place, but you've at least figured out how she could express herself. If there are more, if you need more advice on this, I encourage you to check out our book, Parenting Your Teens with Grace. Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. But again, Amy, if there's more, if you'd like the day-to-day support, our Catholic Home app, that's Catholic H-O-M, you can download it today and try it out for free for 30 days. And we've got great support there, not just great resources, but parent coaching, where you can ask whatever questions you've got from our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches and get responses the same day. It'll make a difference in your life, I guarantee it. So download the Catholic HOM app today. We hope to see you as part of the Catholic Households on Mission community. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. We're talking about parenting today on More to Life. So if you've got parenting questions, or questions about raising a faithful, loving, joyful Catholic family, especially in today's world, we are here to help with the tools and support you need to succeed. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 and 7.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your whole being, and with your whole strength. Take these words to heart. Keep repeating them to your children. Recite them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you get up.
And this is really the mission statement, if you will, God's mission for all of us as parents, reminding us of what the most important thing in our job is. It's not just getting our kids to behave. It's helping our kids learn to love God with their whole hearts, minds, and strength so that they, in whatever they do, will be godly, loving, responsible people. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. And we're taking your calls today on More to Life. Our show is titled No Parent is an Island. If you've got parenting questions or you're feeling overwhelmed by family life, you are not alone. We want to help you get the support and tools you need to be a more confident Catholic mom or dad. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls about parenting right after the break.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter. Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian prayer series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Have you booked your spot for the Grand Getaway this year? It's held at the historic Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island from July 22nd to the 24th. Speakers include Scott and Kimberly Hahn, Father Josh Johnson, and Father John Ricardo. With daily mass, live taping of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, and dancing to the Grand Hotel Orchestra, it's hardly a surprise that there's just a few spots remaining for this very special event. Book this Ave Maria Radio trip now. Check the travel page on AveMariaRadio.net.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled No Parent is an Island, as we talk about those parenting and family questions that, you know, just kind of get under your skin and you're not quite sure what to do about it. Let us give you the tools you need. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Susan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska on Spirit Catholic Radio.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
We're thrilled to have you here. What's up?
Who are ages 5 and 3 are just little terrors most of the time. Their mom believes in gentle parenting and doesn't follow through with like decent timeouts and repercussions. I don't know the right word, consequences. But this morning, I caught one of them with the fish scaler that their dad came home from fishing last night.
Oh, mercy!
Didn't put some of that stuff away, and all I wanted to do was keep them safe, you know, because it's like a knife thing. And I said, why don't you listen? And their mom got all upset with me because she thinks when I say something like that, it makes them not listen even more. But
when you, sorry, Susan, let me just ask you. So when you say, when you said, why aren't you listening? What did you say that they weren't listening to? Because you skipped that part.
To put the fish scaler back down, to take it and put it away where he found it. And he wanted to play with it instead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, and in general, right, the big problem here is that you're trying to, you know, figure out how to redirect your grandkids, you know, and still not run afoul of their mom who isn't really doing gentle discipline so much as not following through on things. So with the example that you gave this morning, let me just kind of give you kind of some steps to helping kids listen in the first place better. You said they're 5 and 3 right now, and so they're
five
still
and six.
No. It's she said 3.
Oh, okay, that's on the board.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you know, they're still learning actions and consequences. They're not really following through. Again, the age of reason is about 7 years old, and that's where kids consistently connect actions with consequences. So they don't understand that when they're doing this thing, they could hurt themselves, and so you don't want to try to reason with them about it, right? You know, hey, you know, if you can, it's fine to tell them to put it away. But if they don't listen, then what you're going to want to do is be more direct with that. Now, so the steps in general, number one, you want to collect the kids before you correct the kids. collecting means kind of getting down on their level or asking them to come over to you or you going over to them.
But it's more important, I think, to go to them since they are so young.
And you get down on their level and you look them in the eye and you say, hey, you know, I see you're having fun with this, but that's a really dangerous thing and you could really hurt yourself. I need you to give that to me now. And you take it from their hands. You don't ask them to put it away. It's a dangerous thing. They should have it
a second longer. They walk across the room to put it away where they already were able to reach it and they could get hurt in that process. You want to make sure they are connected to your eyes. You are saying them, look in my eyes before you do anything else. Let them be looking at you. That's when you know they're engaged with you. Talking to kids without looking in their eyes means they're not really in tune with
Don't
you.
Don't ever correct a child across the room. Don't ever kind of, you know, yell at them from the next room. You make sure you go to them, have their eye contact, especially younger children like this. So that's step one. Collect them before you correct them. Second step, give them be positive in the sense of you're telling them what to do, not what not to do. Right? You know, and so because when we tell it, negation is a very complicated cognitive thing, right? So if I tell you, don't think of a purple elephant with green tennis shoes and a tennis racket, you know, whatever you do, don't think about that elephant. In order to not think about it, your brain has to think of it first and then put a big red X over it, okay? And kids don't do the red X part. They just hear, think of the elephant, right? So when you say, don't play with that, what they hear is play with that. Okay, and again, until they get a little bit more mature. So you want to focus on telling them what to do. Hey, I need you to put this down and play with this instead. So it's not just don't keep playing with that. It's do this instead. If you want to have fun, you can use this as the what were you trying to play with that with the fish scaler?
Right. Oh, you can playing... use your toy knife from your kitchen set, or we can come over here and read a book, or we can go over to your basketball hoop and shoot hoops. But give them something positive to do that will engage them even more.
Okay, but don't negotiate with them in the sense, because when you say you're not listening, I don't agree with your daughter-in-law that you know that's somehow going to make them not listen more. But what it does is it negotiates with them. It's trying to convince them to listen instead of just actually.
Just engaging with them, getting their eye contact, and getting them to listen.
If that doesn't work, then the last step is there does need to be some kind of a consequence where, you know, for example, it's not appropriate for them to have the fish scaler, but if they were playing with something and not listening to you, then it's okay to take it away for the rest of the day and say, okay, well, you know, we can play with that tomorrow, but right now you're not playing with that the right way, so I need to take that away from you. We can do this instead. Again, you're still moving them towards something. It's not just take the thing away. It's go do this. Right? So those are the steps that I would suggest to you.
But I want to make sure you're also having a meeting with your grandchildren's parents, especially the mom, and saying, hey, we're doing this together, and I want to respect the fact that these are not my children. They are your children, and you are setting the way that you relate to your children, and I want to do that with you. So when one of the kids seems to be in danger or is doing something that, you know, isn't great at the moment, talk me through how we're doing this. Talk me through the language. Talk me through how you want me to handle it, especially if you're not there. So she knows that you respect her.
Ask her specifically how she gets them to stop doing the thing or how she moves them on to something. Because either she'll tell you or she'll say, I don't know.
and then you can talk about techniques.
But if you want to make sure that she, you know, if you feel like she's able to follow through in some way and get them to do the thing, even if it's different from the way you do it, that's fine. You know, let her teach you. But ask her first, you know, well, how do you, in a situation here, how do you handle that? How do you get them to put the thing down or do something different? Talk me through that. There's a fair chance that she'll say, well, they don't listen to me either. In which case, you guys can kind of go through something like parenting your kids with grace together. And really, or, you know, listen to this podcast together and kind of understand how to move forward. But this is at least a decent framework that will help you do a better job of getting them to tune in and listen. I think it's gentle enough approach that your daughter-in-law will appreciate it as well. Again, though, if you'd like, by all means, share the More to Life podcast with her and listen to it together. Thanks so much for the call, Susan. If there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us. And listeners, and we've been talking about parenting today, but every day on the Catholic Home app, and that's spelled HOM, it stands for Households on Mission, we provide all the support you need to be a more confident Catholic mom or dad, to build a more loving, connected, and caring Catholic family life, and really encounter Christ more meaningfully at home. I'd just love for you to download the Catholic HOM app and give it a try. You're going to learn more about how you can really build a dynamic domestic church with great parent coaching. You are able to ask your personal questions to our team of pastoral counselors and coaches. Plus, check out all the resources we have there. You're going to love it. Become part of the Catholic HOM community today by downloading the Catholic HOM app. And that's all the time we've got for today's program. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you'd like to learn more about building a more loving, caring, connected Catholic family life, or overcoming all the struggles you face as a Catholic parent, come visit us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. And get out there and celebrate the life God wants you to live, because you know what? With His grace, there is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.